from the JAMA Network. This is JAMA Author Interviews. Conversations with authors exploring the latest clinical research, reviews, and opinion featured in JAMA.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kristen Walter, Senior Editor at JAMA. I'm joined today by Dr. Philip Joseph, investigator at the Population Health Research Institute, McMaster University, in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. We will be discussing his article published in the May 16th issue of JAMA entitled Heart Failure Etiology, Management, and Outcomes in 40 Low, Middle, or High-Income Countries. Welcome, Dr. Joseph.
Thank you, Dr. Walter.
Your study provides interesting insights into how heart failure etiology, treatment, and outcomes differ among countries at different levels of economic development. Can you start off by providing our listeners with an estimate of the global incidence of heart failure?
Yes, of course. It's estimated that about 64 million people have heart failure globally. And while in many high-income countries, the prevalence of heart failure may be decreasing, it's actually increasing in many middle and low-income countries. So it's becoming an increasingly large problem in middle and low-income countries in particular.
And heart failure affects people all around the world, as you mentioned, but most epidemiologic studies of this condition have involved patients from high-income countries. Prior to your study, can you discuss the background knowledge about heart failure in low- and middle-income countries and how it differed among countries at different levels of socioeconomic development?
Yes, of course. As you had mentioned, a lot of the data on heart failure has come from very good studies in North America and Europe describing outcomes of patients with heart failure in these places of the world. More recently, there have been several studies in other parts of the world that included middle-income countries and some low-income countries. And these studies suggested that heart failure outcomes are worse. But it was difficult to make direct comparisons because there has been very limited studies that looked at heart failure in different parts of the world across the full range of countries at different levels of economic development. So while the data did suggest that outcomes were worse, it was really hard to make comparable estimates based on the prior data. Some studies have been able to do this, but you know, our study is probably the largest study to look at it that included low-income countries, middle-income countries, and high-income countries.
Your study included over 23,000 patients from the Global Congestive Heart Failure Registry, which enrolled patients with heart failure from 257 centers in 40 countries from 2016 to 2020. Can you tell us a little more about the data collected on these patients?
Yes, we were able to collect similar data across a similar time point for patients with established heart failure in multiple different sites and multiple different health resource settings. And this has allowed us to really make very good comparisons on the characteristics of heart failure patients, how these differ, how the management of heart failure patients differ, and also how their outcomes differ in different parts of the world.
And in your study, heart failure was classified as being due to ischemic heart disease, hypertension, rheumatic or non-rheumatic valvular disease, idiopathic or other. Who was making the diagnosis of heart failure and how was that diagnosis determined?
So the diagnosis of heart failure was based on the investigator's decision, based on their available clinical data. But we have shown in prior publications that the data is very consistent with heart failure population. These are investigators that were cardiologists or other physicians that are managing heart failure patients across the world. This is a very broad group of heart failure patients that could include patients that were seen in the hospital or in the clinic setting, and they could have heart failure from any cause. So some of those causes, the more common ones were their heart failure due to ischemic heart disease or hypertension or valvular heart disease. So it could have been any type of heart failure patient due to any cause of heart failure. And we wanted to do that because we wanted to capture the true variability of different types of heart failure that can occur in a population.
This study divided the participating countries into four income categories: high income, upper middle income, lower middle income, and low income countries. Can you explain how the countries were divided into these categories and approximately how many countries were in each category?
The classification is based on the World Bank classification. So based on a country's level of economic development or GDP. Based on this, there were 17 high-income countries that were included, 10 upper-middle-income countries, 9 lower-middle-income countries, and 4 low-income countries.
And patients with an echocardiogram within 1 year prior to enrollment in this study were classified as having heart failure with reduced ejection fraction if the LV, left ventricular ejection fraction, was less than or equal to 40%, or mildly reduced LV ejection fraction if the LVEF was 41 to 49% predicted, or preserved ejection fraction if the LVEF was 50% or higher. What percent of patients in your study had an echocardiogram within that year prior to study enrollment? And can you tell us about the breakdown into categories of reduced ejection fraction, mildly reduced, and preserved ejection fraction?
So approximately about 85% of the participants had a echo within 1 year prior to enrollment, and we were able to classify these patients into heart failure with a reduced ejection fraction, heart failure with a mildly reduced ejection fraction, and heart failure with a preserved ejection fraction. We found that about 60% of participants with echo data had a reduced ejection fraction, about a quarter had preserved ejection fraction, and about 15% had mildly reduced ejection fraction. And this is very similar to the variation in heart failure type seen in other prior studies.
And can you give us some demographic information about the participants in the study, including age, sex, and education level?
Yeah, of course. The average age of the participant was 65 years of age, and patients with heart failure were oldest in high-income countries and youngest in low-income countries. About 60% were male and 40% were female. The patients self-reported their sex as male or female. A third of the patients with heart failure were enrolled in the hospital setting, with the majority then enrolled in a clinic or outpatient setting. Related medical conditions, cardiometabolic risk factors were fairly common, with about two-thirds having a history of hypertension and 30% having history of diabetes, and about 5% having advanced kidney dysfunction. About 8% were New York Heart Association class, NOHA class 4. 31% were NYHA class 3, about half were NYHA class 2, and 11% were NYHA class 1.
Great. And your study recorded clinical events over a median follow-up of 2 years. Can you discuss which clinical events were followed and how frequently these data were collected?
The focus of this particular analysis were deaths and hospitalizations. So in the first 2 years of enrollment, patients had these data collected at six-month intervals. After 2 years, it is being collected at yearly intervals. So that was the intervals by which data were collected thus far in the study.
And then moving on to the results, what was the most common cause of heart failure? And were there differences in heart failure types when you compared participants from low and middle-income countries with those from high or upper middle-income countries?
The most common cause of heart failure overall was due to ischemic heart disease, and then this was followed by heart failure due to hypertension. But we also found that the cause of heart failure differed in different countries at different levels of economic development. So for example, in high-income countries and upper-middle-income countries, the most common cause of heart failure was by far ischemic heart disease, and this was accounting for about 45% of heart failure cases. When we looked at lower middle income countries, ischemic heart disease and hypertension had a similar proportion of cases, about 30%. Finally, in low income countries, hypertension was a more common cause of heart failure than ischemic heart disease. So even with these two most common causes of heart disease, we found that the epidemiology differed in different countries at different levels of economic development. The other thing we noted was that valvular heart disease was overall most common in low-income countries, and this was largely driven by a higher proportion of rheumatic heart disease in low-income countries compared to, for example, upper-middle-income countries or high-income countries.
And earlier you mentioned that the participants in the lower-middle-income and lower-income countries were younger at enrollment. Can you discuss some of the other differences in terms of sex or comorbidities that you found among patients with heart failure based upon the income level of the country?
As far as differences in the characteristics of the heart failure patients from low-income countries, in our registry, the age was lower. So the median age was 59 years compared to 69 years in high-income countries. 54% of the cohort in low-income countries were women compared to 32% in high-income countries. More patients were recruited from the inpatient setting. Also, we found that their general functional class was much more severe compared to high-income countries. In low-income countries, we found that heart failure patients had much more severe heart failure symptoms compared to high-income countries.
That's very interesting. And then talking about comorbidities, did you see differences between the countries on that?
We found a lower proportion of comorbidities. For example, in low-income countries compared to high-income countries, self-reported hypertension was lower, diabetes was lower, and so was advanced kidney disease and also chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or COPD. In addition to this, smoking was less common and so was alcohol use. So some of these related medical conditions and health behaviors were less common in patients from low-income countries compared to, for example, high-income countries.
I know you collected data on medication use. Can you discuss the differences by country in terms of which medications were frequently used and how did it vary?
We were able to look at the proportion of patients specifically with heart failure with a reduced ejection fraction on proven medications for the management of heart failure. We separated into the classes of a beta blocker, renin and angiotensin system inhibitor, and a mineralocorticoid receptor antagonist. In these groups of medications, we found that beta blockers and renin angiotensin system inhibitors were the most commonly used heart failure medications, and their rates of use were fairly common in the overall population. Mineralocorticoid receptor antagonists were used less frequently, and because of this, the combined use of all three of these classes of medications was suboptimal, about 50% overall. What we also found was that their combined use was lowest in low-income countries and low-middle-income countries compared to upper-middle-income countries and high-income countries.
This study also examined hospitalizations and deaths. Can you discuss how these varied among countries at different income categories?
We found that patients with heart failure have much worse outcomes in low-income countries and low-middle-income countries compared to upper-middle-income countries and high-income countries when it comes to deaths. So here we see a substantially higher rate of death in patients with heart failure in low-income countries and low-middle-income countries compared to high-income countries. We found that the risk of death for a patient with heart failure in a low-middle-income country and a low-income country was still about 1.5 to 2-fold higher, even after accounting for some of these known factors that influence mortality and heart failure. So there are other things that are driving the higher risk of death in low-middle-income countries and low-income countries. Another important point that we noted was that hospitalizations were 4 times more common than deaths in high-income countries compared to low-middle-income countries and low-income countries. So, in fact, patients are dying much more frequently than they're being hospitalized in a low-income country. And we thought that was an important finding to at least suggest that patients are not potentially receiving timely hospitalization care or acute hospital care in low-income countries.
So that leads very nicely to my next question, which is, what would you say the take-home points of your study are in terms of global variations in heart failure, characteristics, management, and outcomes?
I think the main points are, first, the causes of heart failure differ in different countries at different levels of economic development, and so does the treatment. Treatment is suboptimal overall, but worse so in low-income countries and low-middle-income countries. And the mortality, using these data that allow for more direct comparisons than in the past, we see that a higher mortality persists in low-middle-income countries and low-income countries compared to high-income countries. The other point is that this cannot just be accounted for by different characteristics of the patients themselves. And there are probably other factors, potentially at a health system level or further, that may be influencing the higher rates of death in heart failure patients in low-income countries and low-middle-income countries. And this really needs to potentially be better understood if we are to improve heart failure outcomes in these parts of the world.
Is this study ongoing?
The Global Congestive Heart Failure Study is an ongoing study. So we are continuing clinical follow-up of these patients as part of an extension of the study. So we will be continuing to gather clinical outcomes and additional follow-up for these types of outcomes, such as deaths and hospitalizations, in addition to other clinical outcomes that we will be reporting on in the future.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us about this interesting and important study.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Kristen. Yeah.
That was Dr. Philip Joseph, an investigator at the Population Health Research Institute, McMaster University in Ontario, Canada. And I'm Dr. Kristen Walter. This episode was produced by Shelley Steffens at the JAMA Network. The audio team here also includes Audrey Foreman, Mary Lynn Furkeluk, Lisa Harden, Daniel Morrill, Daniel Musisi, and Hannah Park. Dr. Linda Brubaker is the senior editor for JAMA Multimedia. To follow this and other JAMA Network podcasts, please visit us online at jamanetworkaudio.com. Thanks for listening.